Good evening. I'll figure this thing out in a second. When I was first asked to speak, my first thought was to run and hide. But I don't want to be like Jonah, so instead I made this sermon about him. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. And we'll start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their sin has come before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord sent a great wind, and there was a mighty tempest, so that the ship was about to break. The sailors tried everything to save the ship by their own devices, but eventually Jonah convinced them that the only way to save the ship was to toss Jonah into the sea. If you continue in verse 15, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped from its raging. I haven't told the story of my baptism very often, but I think it's applicable here. One Sunday before my bearded days, I sat in the pew convicted. I had been thinking for a while that I need to be baptized, that I'm not right with God. And the end of the lesson came and the invitation was raised, and I stepped from the pews, and then I stepped back in again. I was too afraid to do what I knew was right. When I went home, I was afraid there too, but for other reasons. If I can make a comparison to Jonah, it was as if a tempest were all around me. I was afraid that some accident would take my life. And because of my decision not to be saved that Sunday, my soul would also be lost. Come to Wednesday, and I decided to stay out in the auditorium instead of going to class with my peers. I sat there, only half listening, but trying to work up the courage to come forward at the end. The end came, and the invitation was extended, and I stepped from the pews and promptly walked to the bathroom instead. I couldn't do it. When the service was over, I stepped outside. I was afraid and hiding. But then I forced myself to go back inside, and I shakily asked to be baptized. And like Jonah, when I hit the water, the tempest ceased. I was no longer afraid because I was saved. This wasn't the end of the story for Jonah. We'll continue reading in Jonah chapter 1, verses 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. And he said, "I call out of my distress to the Lord. He answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and your current engulfs me. All of your breakers and your billows pass over me. So I said, 'I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look towards your holy temple. Water encompasses me to the point of death, and the great deep engulfed me.'" Jonah, after trying to run from God on the ship, is consequently thrown into the sea and eaten by a giant fish. He is isolated from the rest of existence. and is taken to the depth of the sea, so far away and so deep that there is no hope of rescue. It's when Jonah is down there that I like to think that the words of David in Psalm 139 come to mind, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 139:7-10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hands will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. Have you ever felt like Jonah does here? Do you feel isolated? Jonah just spent the first chapter of this book disobeying God. Have you spent your entire life living against God and his principles? Do you often think, why should he listen to me? Have you thought, surely those people over there, those saved people, they couldn't have done some of the things that I have done? And to that point, I'd like to point to the cross and the people who put Jesus on it. The Jews mocked and spat on Jesus. They beat him. They shouted, crucify. They watched with approval and laughed as the Son of God died by their hands. What greater sin could there be? Some of the Jews that felt convicted by Peter's preaching in Acts 2 reached out to the apostles with this question, what shall we do? The answer was in Acts 2:38, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jonah was physically isolated from everything, and the Jews were spiritually isolated from God, and both reached out and found salvation. And so can you, whether you feel physically isolated or spiritually isolated, you can reach out to him in prayer, and he is there. The Lord hears Jonah's prayer. And if we continue in Jonah chapter 2, verses 10. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it spat Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation that I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to the city according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. And then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Skip down to verse 10. When God saw their deeds, they turned from their wicked way. Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring on them, and he would not do it. This part of the narrative is encouraging to me. If you can take this part out as its own standalone story, you would only see a happy story of God's grace. God tells Jonah to preach, and he preaches. The people hear and repent, and God relents, and the people are saved. Yay! But this is just a little part of the Jonah narrative. The story is not so much about the Ninevites as it is about Jonah and his heart. You would think that someone responding positively to your message would make you happy. But you can see that Jonah is not happy. in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, which simply says it displeased Jonah and he was angry. But we will continue reading in chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Then Jonah went out of the city and sat in the east of it, and there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head and to deliver him from the discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about that plant. But God appointed a worm, and when dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint. And he begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, You had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons in whom do not know the difference between their right hand and their left, as well as many animals?" This is the part of the story that hits me. It doesn't say why Jonah hated the Ninevites, but we can speculate that perhaps he hated them because they were a wicked and idolatrous nation. Or perhaps there were ongoing conflicts and turmoil between the northern kingdom of Israel, where Jonah lived, and Assyria, whose capital is Nineveh, given that about 20 years after Jonah, the Assyrians would conquer Israel. But regardless of the reason, Jonah hates the Ninevites, and he hates that now these people will be saved. There are many conflicting groups in this country. There are social conflicts, political conflicts, sporting conflicts, sweet tea versus unsweet tea. But do these differences stop us from teaching them? The image God prepared for Jonah was made to show Jonah that he cares more for his comfort than he does for the lives of the Ninevites. The lesson of Jonah is clear. In the last part of Jonah 2, verse 9, he says, "Salvation is from the Lord." And this applies to everyone. And this is made clearer by Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, which say, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Salvation is not just for your friends or for your political party who likes to drink sweet tea. Salvation is for all. The story of Jonah's life is a man who runs from what he's told to do, and doing so finds himself physically and spiritually isolated from everyone and everything, but can still reach out to God in prayer. His prayer is answered, and then he does what he is supposed to do. He preaches, and the people he preached to repent, but he is angry about it. So God teaches him a lesson about caring for souls more than comfort. For us as Christians, think about what God said to Jonah when you see a chance to teach, but you feel too afraid to. Do you value your comfort over comfort and silence over their soul? For the Christian or the non-Christian, I want you to remember, no matter how lowly you may feel or how isolated you may feel or how far you feel you are away from God, He is there if you just reach for Him. To the non-Christian, The message is the same message as to the Ninevites. Repent, for destruction is at hand, and salvation is of the Lord. And for the not yet Christian, for the one sitting there battling nerves in the pew, for the one who knows the right thing to do, who is afraid of the tempest around them, the one who fears for his soul and knows the only way for the tempest to stop is to be tossed into the water. My message for you is of comfort and encouragement. Comfort and encouragement. I have been there. I was afraid. But I can tell you, I have never felt more relief than when I was baptized. Right now is a convenient time to be baptized. Now is a good time to quit from running from what you know is right. The command of God through Peter in Acts 2:38 was to repent, each of you, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Will you continue to run and hide? Or will you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song?